Welcome back, everybody, from your walk and maybe a bit of a break. We're here now, finally, for the final leg of our day together to talk about the fourth foundation of mindfulness. And I think probably by now you know that I'm Linda, also one of the local Dharma leaders. And so I'm going to give you some introduction to this topic. Now, I think this fourth foundation of mindfulness, it's probably the most, what would you say, confusing maybe, and hard to understand and hard to access of all of the four foundations. And in fact, even its name, mindfulness of dhammas, is a confusing thing. I mean, first thing when we hear about it, we will ask, well, what does that even mean? What are dhammas anyway? Well, in preparing for this talk, I learned that the word dhamma, the Pali word dhamma, has two meanings. One of them is what one of the teachers whose talk I read, Ines Friedman, she's a teacher with Gil Fronsdale's Insight Meditation Center. She talks about there's Dhamma with the big D, which is Dhamma in the sense of truth, the truth of the way things are, the teachings of the Buddha. And then there's Dhamma with the small d, which means things. And in the sense of this fourth foundation, it primarily means the sense of all the things in the mind. And Andrew Olensky, who's a Buddhist scholar and was formerly with the Berry Center for Buddhist Studies, back part of IMS, he talks about the fourth foundation as being investigation of all these mental objects, these things in the mind, and with them, the whole curriculum of Buddhist psychology. So, I mean, it's like, oh my God, is that overwhelming or what? But fortunately, the sutta emphasizes certain categories of dhammas to be mindful of, which makes it a little bit less overwhelming. And these are the five hindrances: craving, aversion, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt. The five aggregates: form, feeling, perception, mental formations, and consciousness. The six sense spheres, which we've already talked about with the body, of sight, taste, touch, smelling, hearing, and thought, the mind too. The seven factors of enlightenment, of mindfulness, investigation, energy, joy or rapture, tranquility, concentration, and equanimity, and the Four Noble Truths. But even broken down into these categories, I mean, it's quite an agenda. Now, sometimes these things, the fourth foundation, is approached with exercises to help us to focus on these different categories of mind objects, and sometimes it's presented in more a way that we might call descriptive, and where we hear Dharma talks about these different categories, kind of a map of the teachings and how things are laid out, so that when, and then the idea is, you know, you go ahead, you go along, you do your practice, and then when these things arise, you're able to recognize them and have some kind of context to put them in. Not so much trying to guide you to actually see them, but when they come up, you know what's going on. And I think probably what most of us have experienced is more the descriptive approach, where we learn, you know, we learn about the hindrances, we learn about the factors of awakening, we learn about the Four Noble Truths, and they may not even be presented as part of the fourth foundation of mindfulness, but we learn about them. And then as we do our practice, we see them and we're like, oh, okay, you know. But in any case, in either case, one way to think about the fourth foundation is that it's the place where we take all the things that we see in our mind and our body that we are, you know, notice in these first three foundations and put them in the context of the Buddhist teachings. And this can be kind of in this sense of investigating or being mindful of these different categories of mental objects that I talked about before, the hindrances, the aggregates, the sense spheres, and so on. But noticing them, I mean, some of them we noticed already or talked about already, especially some of the sense experiences. And the hindrances too, Sue's talked about that. But on this level of the fourth foundation, as Andrew Olensky points out, it's kind of almost going beyond what we may have noticed in the first three foundations. So the emphasis is not just on noticing their presence or absence in the mind, but more on looking at their motion in the mind. You know, how they arise and how they disappear and how we are able to let go of them. And there's also some work such as, you know, strengthening some of them, such as the factors of awakening. So the emphasis is really a lot more on looking at them in such a way that we really highlight their impermanence. We highlight their impersonal nature. We highlight our relationship with them, the pain we experience when we cling, the relief when we don't. So, for example, in the Satipatthana Sutta, in the instructions for the hindrances, we're asked to notice if they're present or not. We're asked to notice if they are arising. If that does occur, we're asked to notice their abandonment if that occurs. And we're also asked to notice when their tendency to arise starts to diminish, where we kind of don't tend to go there so much and get caught so much. Or in the case of the senses, with the eye, for instance, we're asked to be aware of the eye, that seeing is happening, that forms are being seen. And then in one approach, you know, to be aware of this whole process of the mind, kind of categorizing and naming whatever it is in front of it and all of the stuff that comes up around that. Or in another sense of being aware of any fetters that arise related to the forms, in the sense of if there's craving for it, if there's aversion for it, identification, you know, seeing what is our relationship with this thing. So there's a lot to be looking at in this fourth foundation, not just is it there or is it not there. There's also the sense that the fourth foundation is a kind of a guide through our journey into insight and awakening. And in the practice guide to the Satipatthana Sutta, the monk Anilayo, and this practice guide is part of our resource, he talks about how the first three foundations lay the groundwork for insight into the three characteristics. And in the fourth foundation, we proceed to the maturity of insight leading up to the breakthrough to awakening. So it's kind of dealing with this whole process of really deepening our understanding. And Anilayo goes on to talk about this whole process in the fourth foundation as one of emerging from the hindrances, cultivating the awakening factors, deepening our understanding of the, I'm paraphrasing now, of impermanence, to its fruition, which is dispassion. So, you know, we realize that things really don't last. And so our interest in trying to hang on diminishes to the point where we really see very clearly impermanence and we begin to see the realization of not self. And he talks about how this eventually leads to a point where we really don't have any more sense of ownership in relation to or identification with what he refers to as the empty phenomena of body, feeling, and mind. So, I mean, this is sort of a guide to this, the whole journey of practice, really. Our lifetime, and many lifetimes maybe, journey of practice. And you certainly, in the sutta itself, you have a sense of this, where it encourages us to work with the hindrances, the senses, the awakening factors, and then we get to the Four Noble Truths. And here, the way that this is phrased, you get the sense that of actual insight into these truths occurring from one's own experience. So the sutta says, a person is aware as it actually is, this is suffering, or this is dukkha. The person is aware as it actually is, this is the origin of dukkha. They are aware as it actually is, this is the cessation of dukkha. They are aware as it actually is, this is the way leading to the cessation of dukkha. So you get the idea of reaching the point where you really know for yourself, this is what the Buddha was talking about. You know, when the teachers have told me about the Four Noble Truths and I've listened to all those Dharma talks and blah, 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 this is what they're talking about. So there's that sense of reaching that place and being mindful of that in the fourth foundation. And kind of similar to this, Rodney Smith, our founding teacher, in his book on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, talks about the fourth foundation in this way, you know, as a movement, say, from ignorance to wisdom, from the form to the formless. And moving from the form, from form into the formless by framing this foundation in these contemplative truths of the hindrances, aggregates, sense bases, seven factors of enlightenment, and the Four Noble Truths. And he also talks about it in a way that I think is kind of interesting as a movement from the realm of practice to the realm of abiding. So in a sense of moving from a place where we're actually, you know, working to be mindful, working to notice different things that happen in our bodies, notice different things are happening in our minds, you know, doing this work of our practice and our work of being mindful, to a place where we're really not doing anything. We're just being whatever arises. So, or maybe even say we're just being part of whatever arises. So it's kind of a shift from me being aware to simply resting in the awareness. And we kind of see that too in the final phrases of this sutta, where the Buddha talks about, you know, one abides among mind objects. Among mind objects, arising mind objects and vanishing mind objects. One abides with mindfulness established just to know there is a mind object. And finally, one abides an independent, not clinging to anything in this world. So, you know, that's the culmination, to be in this place of not clinging to anything in this world. And of course, you know, this shift isn't something that happens like after you listen to a 15-minute Dharma talk. It's like, whoa, I'm here. I'm, you know, I've seen it all. I know it all. It's a process, a process of understanding more and more deeply, seeing more and more deeply. And I think Tweri, many of you have heard her say this. She puts it really well when she says that this practice is not about getting calm. It's about seeing and understanding and finding freedom from that seeing and understanding. And so that's what this fourth foundation is really about. Inez Friedman puts it really beautifully when she says, what's the purpose of the fourth foundation of mindfulness? It's freedom. So practicing with the fourth foundation, we look at our minds through the eyes of what gives freedom. So that's quite an amazing way to think about this. And it's a huge, big journey. And I'm looking here to see how much longer I have. But what I wanted to do, okay, I think we're good. We're very good, in fact. So what I'm going to do, this sort of gives some background of what this fourth foundation is about. And so I'm going to grab my little bell. And then I'm going to lead us on a guided meditation to begin to sort of touch into some of these different categories of phenomenon that we're supposed to investigate in this fourth foundation and maybe get a little bit of sense of that place of abiding. So it's a taste, of course, but hopefully you'll get a little bit of feeling of what this is about. So get into a comfortable posture. And first, just take a few moments to settle in, bringing your attention to the present moment. Feeling your body sitting. If it's helpful to you, you might want to bring the attention to the breath to help collect your thoughts. If that's a good anchor for you. Or just the feeling of the body sitting. So taking a few minutes just to get grounded. And then open your eyes if they're not already open. Recognizing forms are appearing, seeing is happening. You may notice that little automatic reaction of pleasant, unpleasant. Your mind recognizing what you're seeing, naming it. And then maybe all kinds of thoughts related to that thing begin to arise. If you're looking at your kitchen, oh, kitchen floor is dirty. I need to wash it. I At your desk, oh, messy, I need to clean it. All sorts of mental things coming up. And now close your eyes again. And notice what happened to those forms. What happens to those feelings? Settling back into the awareness of your body. Just sitting. And then allow your attention to go to whatever is most prominent now in your experience. It might be the sensations of the breath, a particular sensation in the body, maybe some sounds that are happening in your environment. Recognize whatever that is that's most prominent. And then take a moment to notice your relationship with it. Maybe there's just a sense of knowing it's there, being mindful of it. Or maybe a feeling of not liking, not wanting. Feeling of wanting, wishing for it to continue. A feeling of identification. Ah, that's my old injury, acting up again. Possibly a feeling of doubt or confusion. What am I feeling? What am I supposed to be doing? What is this thing? Just taking a few moments to notice how these various feelings arise. And maybe shift. Or disappear. Maybe even a sense of the mind getting caught in objections, aversion. And then that's recognized. And there's a sense of that little voice saying, ah, don't need to go there. And the attention goes back to just what's happening now. Noticing these processes. Now beginning to notice as you sit the presence of those factors in the mind called the factors of awakening. Maybe you notice the presence of mindfulness. That simple awareness of what's arising is there. Maybe a feeling that the mind is becoming steadier, more collected, and concentration is deepening. Maybe a growing sense of tranquility. Or perhaps there's energy and interest, a sense of deeper investigation into what is being experienced, knowing and seeing more clearly. Maybe you're feeling joy. Maybe you're feeling equanimity, a sense of balance, to just be with things as they are, without needing something different. Knowing if any of these mind states are present, recognizing them if they arise. Maybe now and then, as we sit, you're able to recognize when you find yourself caught up in wanting something to happen, or aversion to whatever is happening. Wanting those beautiful factors of awakening to arise. Wanting to get rid of those unpleasant hindrances. Feeling those senses of wanting and not wanting, the pain of that, and recognizing, this is dukkha. This is dukkha. And maybe you will notice too those times when the grip of those painful emotions lessens and you're able to simply be present with whatever is arising and to recognize, even though maybe it's only for this briefest of moments, this is the end of dukkha. And now see if you can let yourself simply relax, letting go of any effort you might be making to notice anything in particular, to be mindful of anything in particular, to let go of anything, and simply rest in awareness. Simply abiding with body sensations, emotions, thoughts, all these different mind objects. Mind objects arising, mind objects vanishing. And such is the way one abides. among arising mind objects, vanishing mind objects. One abides independently, not clinging to anything in the world. Well, thank you everybody for your attention and for your practice.